This episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream and get a free audiobook on us from more than 180,000 titles. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, sometimes you just gotta take a bump on your bum.
I want to make a robot too.
Fred Thompson doesn't give a shit one last time.
Chipotle gets gross.
Scott has a theory about the future of movies.
That skateboarding dog died.
Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
The baby's due any day now, but everything's under control because they connected their computer to Prodigy.
To make a long story short, I put a whole bag of jelly beans up my
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. I got a thumb. I got a middle finger.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, the morning stream for Monday, November 2nd, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ebbett. Hi.
Oh, hello, Scott.
Or should I say, hold on, I'm going to pronounce it in a slightly different way when I say Brian Ebbett. Okay? So here's the way I would do it now. Here we go.
Brian Ebbett.
Oh. Yeah, listen to that. Do you guys hear that? Let me try that one more time.
Brian Ebbett.
That's a long story.
That's how he announced me at the podcast awards.
Yeah, Brian Ibbotson, but real quiet like. Hi, Brian Ibbot. Here's something talking about my unit. Here you go, right here.
Scott Johnson's got quite the...
Yeah, he does.
Quite the unit.
Oh, Leo. Anyway, good morning and welcome back, everybody. It's great to be here. Man, I feel like this is going to be a weird week because we've only got three normal days and then we're all at BlizzCon this weekend.
Right. Live, in person, and together.
It's going to be nuts. I am fully prepared to have perhaps the weirdest BlizzCon ever. And I can make public one thing, although I don't know who's going to be there yet. But I will be hosting in the community area on Friday. I'll be hosting a panel, basically. And it's me and then a bunch of people I don't know for sure yet. They're still confirming it, but they're going to be sitting in there and answering questions from people who might be in the
Blizzard,
community area.
Blizzard muckety mucks?
Yeah, like developers and designers and all that sort of thing. So other than that, I don't have a ton of details. If you follow me on Twitter at Scott Johnson and you're at BlizzCon, you want to know when that's happening, it'll be Friday afternoon and we don't know the exact hour yet. So I know this is all pretty vague, but... As soon as I have confirmation on all of that, I'll let you guys know. I'm a little nervous, Brian. A little nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous. You know what? I'll be in the audience.
Yeah.
And when it comes time for Q&A, I'll raise my hand and you can point to me as the first Q&A, the first question, right?
Yeah.
And I'll stand up and I'll say, hi, question for Bill, third one from the left. Hi, Bill. Yeah. Where's my Overwatch?
Even better, just yell fart gas and run out of the room.
That'd there we go. Right. Yes, exactly.
That'd be all right.
Or I'll just fart and leave.
Okay.
How about that?
That sounds okay. It's going to be nuts. Like Thursday, there's like five parties to be at. It's just going to be crazy. This year's going to be insane. And it's funny because it's otherwise not expected to be the most bombastic BlizzCon year from a Blizzard perspective. We kind of know everything.
They kind of did some pre-announcing. Like the whole Legion thing, that's normally something they would say. They'd sit on until BlizzCon and have a big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to see the new expansion? Who's pumped?
Totally. I'll bet we get to see an actual, a cinematic trailer for it or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Outside of the little shorty thing they did for Gamescom. But there's a lot of things already kind of out in the open and not a lot of hidden items. So in that way, it's not the craziest. Although I do think that in that opening ceremonies, we're all going to get to see the movie trailer. I really do.
Yes. Yeah, we have to be. They have to be able to...
I predict
to finally show that thing semi-publicly.
Yeah, yeah. And then maybe some tidbits here and there about stuff that's already out that we'll be excited about, like, you
probably,
know,
probably, you know, announce
stuff.
How Overwatch is going to be delivered, if it's going to be a full pay game or if you get the initial game free and you buy extra characters like heroes or however it's going to be.
Then it'll be on consoles, which I think is a given. The thing's already got controller support in the PC beta, so there's a lot of stuff like that. But one way or the other, I'm probably most excited about hanging out with you and seeing all our friends and everybody getting to be together.
Too.
You know, it's always good.
Me too. That's, you know, that's, I would go even if I didn't have a ticket to the actual event, just because it's a chance to hang out with all you fine people.
Yeah, and we can see how exhausted all our Blizzard friends are for trying to put this thing
We already know one of them is totally exhausted because we talked to him.
We know one of them just it should be in a hammock right now.
In a hammock?
Yeah.
Maybe on the island of Maui.
Convalescing, really. Mm-hmm. You take a wild guess who that is, everybody.
That was a little bit of a hint right there.
So, Brian, did I ever tell you about the time you broke your tailbone? Or you didn't really break it. But so, Brian, this is funny because Brian, not funny, but Brian sends me a text that we all fear that one day we're going to fall on our own steps and hurt our bums. And right. You took a real nasty
fall.
You're telling
the whole story.
Well, tell them what happened. What went down?
So Friday, it's funny, you and I were going to record something that afternoon, and in the morning I come down with my cup of coffee. Actually, in this case, it was second or third trip down the stairs, like, you know, bottle of water. I like go upstairs and get water all throughout the day. But we've got a dog that is not doing well. I mean, she's getting old. She's got diabetes, and she's lost a lot of muscle tissue in her back legs from surgery that she couldn't get up and run around for a while. So, like, she's much weaker in her back legs. And so we have to keep the basement door closed so that she can't go down the stairs. When she goes down the stairs, she can get down okay, but when she tries to go back up the stairs, she falls on her butt on her belly because she's a dog. And
right.
I have to carry her up.
Right. So I was picturing a hind-quartered walking dog up until you reminded me that they only walk on all fours. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have to keep the basement door closed. And I'm coming down the stairs. I've got my bottle of water and I get into the stairwell. I turn around. I pull the door shut behind me. And my feet, as I'm turning back forward to go down the stairs, slip out completely in front of me. Oh. And I land hard on my butt on the stairs. And I don't stop there. I decide to bounce down about four more steps before I finally grab the handrail, you know, and just let the bottle of water go, grab the handrail, and, like, you know, clutch on for dear life.
Oh, gosh. And by the way, he hurt his coccyx. I looked that up
my
this
coccyx.
Weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, your coccyx got
just
hurt.
Just looking for an opportunity to say that, aren't you?
I really was, dude. I was waiting for a window.
Right now, like, sitting down, like, if I'm sitting on a chair, I'm so glad I have a standing desk. If I'm sitting on a chair, I honestly have to be leaned all the way forward so my tailbone is not pressed down on the chair. It's 3 or 4 days since, right? It's happened Friday, and we've had all of the rest of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday, a little bit of Monday. And it still hurts like a mofo, which makes me think that it might be more than just a bruised.
Yeah, it could be cracked.
Could be cracked, could be fractured, in which case, whatever. I mean, you know, if I go to the doctor and he x-rays, yeah, it's cracked.
Yeah, they can't do anything for you.
Just stay off of it, ice it, you know.
Take 3,000 Percocet and see me in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They can't put a cast on me or anything like
that. No, no. If they tried, you should yell for help because that's weird. you've done what my mom used to do, and when she did it, a couple of times she injured it real bad. She had to have a donut pad toilet seat. Have you been tempted to get one of those?
I went to Walgreens yesterday, and I did buy. Now it's not a toilet seat. I mean, a toilet seat is already a donut shape. Toilet seat, totally fine, right?
Right.
But I want to sit on the couch and I want to lean back on the couch, then I need. I got a foam donut. I didn't get the inflatable donut. I got the actual big foam donut.
Oh, okay.
And if I want to lean back on the couch, I've got to be sitting on that. Although lately, you know, for the last couple of days, it's been ice pack. It's been bum ice pack couch. And let me tell you, that's not an area that's used to freezing cold all of a sudden.
No, it can change the way you look at life, really.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you are so stoic about it. I mean, you've clearly seen it for what it is.
I've accepted it.
Yeah.
Because here's the bummer, right? Here's the thing that bums me out. Now, obviously, BlizzCon is this weekend.
Sure, that sucks.
And there's going to be, you know, I'm going to be sitting in the audience watching the Hearthstone finals, watching the opening ceremonies, whatever. Walking around, no problem. Sitting, I'll be sitting in the front of my seat. I'll be on the edge of my seat anyway, watching the excitement of Hearthstone.
Sure, yeah, it won't be any different. It'll be fine.
Right, but Thursday, Tristan and I were supposed to go to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine that that's going to happen right now.
Not at the moment, right? Like, You hope maybe by Thursday it'll all be cleared up, but you don't. There's no way to know, I guess.
There's no way to know. I mean, boy, I'm going to kind of play it by ear and make the decision on it on Wednesday and just say, yeah, I don't think Disneyland's going to happen. You know, not only can I'll just avoid the fun rides.
Oh.
You know, like Big Thunder Mountain, I can't imagine right now. I can't imagine riding on Big Thunder Mountain or the Matterhorn. Oh, my God, Matterhorn right now. Just
anything that does any jerky-herky. Right. And up, down, you're done. You're out, right, man.
But the worst part is getting in and out of little vehicles, little rides and things like that, because just getting out of my car, and my car is upright. My car, I don't have to, like, crawl down into a padded seat and you know, pull the lap bar down on me in my car. Getting out of my car, you don't realize how many muscles you use to get out of a vehicle, and sometimes those muscles are not the ones you'd expect.
Nope. You're in a world of hurt if you do it. I wouldn't blame you if I ended up getting there Thursday and found out that you didn't do that.
Yeah. So Thursday might be Tristan and I get there in the morning, we drop our stuff off at the hotel, we drive out to the beach, go to In-N-Out Burger, and then come back and hang out with people at the hotel.
Oh, well, nice.
Which would be just fine. There's a lot of good in all that stuff. So
yeah,
we'll see.
That all sounds fine. Now, before we go to Daryl, I want to hear about anytime your neighbors, the crazy neighbors, I assume.
Yeah. Oh, the crazy neighbors are bummed today because big Green Bay fans, right?
I mean, yeah, you know, that was bad for them yesterday.
They've been wearing their green and gold all weekend long and talking about how the Packers are going to just obliterate the Broncos. Well, it did not happen last night.
No, it did not. It may yet happen, but it didn't last night.
Well, they've got a bunch of relatives in town, some cousins in town from visiting from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And one of them works in the education field, and her name is also Tina, as a matter of fact. And Tina was sent in her office, and she had to meet with a bunch of parents about their kids, more kind of like as a counselor kind of thing, more than a teacher or a principal, something like that.
Sure.
And she gets, a woman comes in, and she's given a file folder for this woman's daughter who's a student at the school. And she looks at the name at the top of the student information sheet, and it's spelled L-A-A. So L-A, then a hyphen, and then A.
So how would you say that? La-A?
That's what she said. She says, is it pronounced La-A? La-A? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah. And the woman looks at her and says, it's La-Dasha. The dash isn't silent.
Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
That makes me want to punch a donkey. The dash is not silent.
The dash is not silent.
It's not also not a word.
Right.
It's also not letters.
I can't wait to meet somebody named Lapostrophe.
La colon is really the one I'm looking for.
Right.
Yeah. La semicolon. That's terrible. That is terrible. If that's for real, stop it, whoever you are, and either go legally change it to the dash part or don't do that anymore.
Right. Oh, please don't tell me. Is this really an internet Snopes thing? Somebody find me an article, because they're still next door, and I'm going to call her out if she made up this.
Well,
this
they business. Are the crazy neighbors.
They're the, well, it's not the, and it wasn't the neighbor. It was one of their visitors from Wisconsin. Holy cow. Marvin Skelton. I think he found.
Finally, Brian gets this. One that I didn't get. It
exactly.
happened to Brian. What a glorious day. It's November.
This is absolutely, look at this. Oh, I'm calling her out. They're still in
town.
We're going
remember the 2nd of November. It's amazing.
We're going to a haunted house tonight. I'm going to say, the story you told us about La-A, right?
Uh-huh.
And the dash not being silent. Now, how exactly did that happen to you?
Dude, you should totally do that, because remember that thing happened with me with the kid at school?
Yes. It wasn't the kid.
What was the deal?
It was the
I've already forgotten how.
The mentally handicapped person who locked a little person salesman
right.
in the cupboard thinking that they caught a leprechaun,
yeah, and were 100% convinced, as they told me the story, that it was true and that they had first hand on it. And then we found the exact story on Snopes, and then I don't remember how we confronted him. I think I brought something up.
Exactly, yeah. This is like,
you need to let me know how that goes. There's some follow up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited now. We got something to look forward to. All right. Well, there's all that.
Holy cow. Snopes article, like almost exactly the description of what...
I'll tell you what's more amazing is that our chat room is so on the ball that they immediately recognized it.
Yeah, no
kidding. Then told us, you guys are insane. Insane bunch of people. All right.
Poison Elf says, it started as an internet thing, but people have actually gone out and done it and named their kids that.
Well, it's entirely possible, right?
That yeah. You may and maybe, maybe that's the way it works.
So. Yeah, or people may, the student may have done it knowingly and the teacher had no, or the counselor had no idea.
Oh, it could be.
So So it's still possible your neighbor's, family, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're still telling the truth. Who knows?
Who knows?
Tomorrow we find out. Oh, look what time it is. It's time for Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Hi, Scott and Brian and Frog Panthers. I've just released my first game called Battle Pixels, which is currently live on Steam Greenlight and available to download on itch.io. That's itch.io. Battle Pixels is a fast-paced point-and-click shooter with a 16-bit retro feel. Please check it out on Steam Greenlight. Your votes would really be appreciated. Love the show, though. Many thanks. Happy art.
Oh, that's adorbs.
Totally adorbs.
Sounds Battle good Pixels. To me. Daryl, are you there?
I am here.
Good morning. Hey,
good morning.
You have some breaking news.
Yes.
Hold on.
I can hardly breathe.
I know. This is amazing. Let me get you some breaking news music. Ooh. Or something.
I haven't seen. I saw that you guys were messaging back and forth, and I didn't.
Well, here's what. Here's our theme for breaking news. Goes forever. So
wow. Okay.
I'll stop it there. What happened? We heard something this morning. What's going on?
Yes, CBS is now officially working on a new Star Trek TV series that will come out January 2017.
Whoa!
Wow.
So that's early then, but this is all confirmed.
Yes.
Okay.
This is real stuff.
All right.
This Googa Booba junk we've been hearing lately.
Googa Booba junk.
Googa Booba junk.
That's actually going to be that's the working title for the new series.
The Googa Booga has no honor. Okay.
And this is going to be on CBS?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be on like, oh, wow.
Because CBS owns Paramount now, right? Or is it, I have that wrong.
No, it's, when they did this merger thing, everything got all mixed up. And the movies went to Paramount and the TV shows went to CBS.
Oh.
So they've been having this back and forth squabble about who gets what.
Okay.
And that's why it hasn't been done sooner.
So what else do we know? Any other juicies?
Well, it's going to be on CBS All Access.
Okay, so it's not a TV thing?
I think they're going to do some special thing for the first episode on CBS.
Oh, weird. So I'm not sure how... I could take that one of two ways. I could say they don't have enough faith in it, so they're just doing some weird low-budget web thing. Or I can take it as... They see the writing on the wall. The core fans for this are going to definitely be streamer people. We should focus there. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They could
let it go to Google. What is it? I can't even think. Netflix. Mm-hmm. Or they could just do it themselves on their own competing system.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what they'll do. That's interesting. Do we know anyone who's involved? Oh, there's more. Okay.
Alex Kurtzman. I can't even talk.
You're all excited.
You're so excited. I've never quite seen Daryl like this. Holy crap. All right.
Alex Kurtzman is the executive producer.
Yeah. How do we know him? Was he Alexander? This... No.
And this series will not be related to Star Trek Beyond.
Oh.
So I'm thinking that means it's going to be its own thing, maybe in the timeline after Voyager, but who knows? That's... Now the speculation begins.
Right, but if it's in the timeline after Voyager, we assume it's in the same general timeline of Voyager. That means it could be Next Generation movie timeline, which is also Deep Space Nine timeline, because what's-her-name's back. Captain Janeway's back, and she's a colonel now in First Contact, right? I'm not saying they'll all appear in it. I'm just trying to get the time frame right.
I think it's going to be after that.
Okay. But do you think it's going to be like 100 years after, like that kind of thing?
Maybe not quite that far, but about that.
Okay. And we don't know, there's no preliminary on who's writing or who's acting or any of that.
Looking for a writer for the first beginnings of it.
I'm jazzed.
What's Ronald Moore doing?
Yeah, what's he up to?
Yeah, you know the guy's
got
talent.
He's a little short guy. He's fine. He's got time.
Yeah, no, he watches a lot of baseball.
He has two shows going right now, though. That one on in Stars, is it? The Leftovers?
That hardly counts as a show.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't know. Stars has some cool stuff going on.
I'm kidding.
All right.
Let me see. What's Outlander?
Outlander, that's what I said. Outlander?
Outlander.
Outlanders.
Helix. Oh, Helix is done. Outlander.
And Landers? What?
Yeah, that's it. Outlanders.
It's the new Outlander show. With Ronald Moore helming it. Yeah, he's got a couple things going on, I guess. Anyway.
It's funny that they don't have enough faith in this thing to actually say, yeah, it's going to be on CBS. Like, it's going to be a primetime television show. Because
it's
been proven that sci-fi can work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they want to put money into it. And if people are paying to get it on a streaming service, then they'll probably get a lot more money.
That's a decent point. If it came to Netflix through an arrangement with CBS in the same way that like Warner Brothers works with Netflix for all this, CBS and Marvel and Disney work with them for their Marvel stuff, that would be, to me, that's optimal. If you tell me it's only on some app CBS makes, I think that's less than optimal.
Yeah.
I think that sounds bad. Yeah, that sounds cheap.
What happened with Community and Yahoo? I think it was an okay season. It would have done fine on NBC, but just the fact that it was on this really hard platform to get to. I mean, come on, we're all digital people. We all can stream stuff on the internet without any problem. Mm-hmm. But getting the Yahoo second screen app or going online or whatever, it's not going to be that easy for the average viewer. And that's what worries me.
I agree 100%. So if they can pull that off with a big name like Netflix or put it on the network proper, I'm happy. If not, I feel like they're half-assing it, and I hope they don't.
Maybe but either they're trying to be Netflix.
Maybe. I just
and
don't
they think
want,
this will help them.
It may, but I don't want to. And I don't want to poo-poo Daryl's parade because he's obviously very stoked.
Mm-hmm.
I am too. New Star Trek in series form is an extremely exciting proposition to me. So we'll see. 2017 is a little ways off, so everyone get comfy. It's going to be a while.
Right.
All right, let's move on to what's up next, which is what? Oh, Daryl, you're the Trek nerd. Come on the show.
You should answer a trivia question or something.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. First, let's play a mashup. Mike makes me do it. So here it is right here.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows anything? No one knows. All right. Nobody knows.
They're not going to care. They don't care. What? They're going to care.
Hi, can I take your order as soon as I'm finished posting this Instagram of how much I hate my job?
Quiet or Papa Spank.
Like, what? Quiet or Papa Spank?
What does that mean?
I think he's threatening her with a spanking if...
I guess. Click, click, boom.
You need a new TB? You need TB? Bindaloo!
Well, there you go. Well done.
And boom, boom, bong. That is the end. That's where it ended. That's where it ended, folks. Okay. For real. Right. I don't want to lead anyone along thinking there's still a mashup happening right now, but it's totally not. And who would know better than this guy right here?
Ryan Ibbett.
Ryan Ibbett. He's doing like that. What's that called? We were talking on the core show
Vocal
about
Fry?
No, that thing where they talk, where it's like, okay.
Vocal Leela.
Rich, creamery butter.
Butter and... just put your finger in the thing.
We take two all beef patties.
What's it called? It's a word.
Smother them with rich creamery
butter.
It's
like MMRB or BRM or PBRS. It's some kind of condition where people gain pleasure from little quiet talk like this. Like the Bob Ross voice really gets.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, I've never heard of that thing being an actual documented.
What's it called? Thing. The guys, my core guys
Lynn
would
know. Lynn says ASMR.
That's it, ASMR, that's it.
What's that stand for?
I have no idea. Lynn
is saying it three times. So.
We were just talking about it on the core show, or off the air. I don't think we said it on the show. We were talking about it and just trying to get our heads around it because it doesn't make sense to me, but a lot of people, I guess, gain a lot of pleasure from sort of hearing somebody softly say things very quietly into a microphone.
Right.
And that's what this reminds me of right here.
Ryan Ibbett.
So that's all. That's
it's working on me, baby.
That's why I brought
that up.
I'll
tell you that much.
Thanks, Bo and John. All right. What are we doing now? Daryl, let's get to your question. In the Next Generation iBorg show episode iBorg.
iBorg.
Mm-hmm. iBorg. An away team finds a crashed Borg ship. They find one of the Borg still alive and bring him back to the Enterprise. What cluster of space does the Enterprise do? Or in what cluster of space do they find this Borg? Is it A, the Abata cluster, B, the Tenaris cluster, C, the Argolis cluster, or D, the Lorenz cluster, I guess?
Lorenz, yeah.
Lorenz, so you got the Obata, the Tenaris, the Argolis, or the Lorenz. Those are your options. This is the one where they pick up a Hugh, wasn't it? They called him Hugh.
Right, I was trying to remember his name.
It's
yeah.
the stupidest name for a Borg. Yeah. Hugh.
Ugh. I'm Hugh Borg.
I'm Hugh Borg. I'm here to visit.
Hugh Borgenstein. Nice to meet you.
He's an accountant for Borgenstein and Smith. Anyway, so who? So you got to think.
If they were still making Next Generation episodes right now, and Trump was a special guest, they would have an episode called Bing Bong Borg.
Bing Bong Borg. Oh man, I have some things to say about politics, but I'm not going to do it today. It's not even about it's not even about conservatives. It's about I heard a thing on the radio this weekend that it showed that every single candidate on any side of the election, for all of time, mm-hmm. has always claimed to be the Washington outsider. Every one of them, including ones like even Hillary Clinton. The other day, somebody asked her about that. She goes, "Well, I don't know if you can get much more outsider than a woman as president." Whatever. You were Secretary of State.
In Washington.
You were the wife. You were first lady of a presidency, no matter what he did with that woman.
Right.
You're like, you don't talk like that to me. And anybody else who does it, too. Like these guys, like, it's the weirdest thing, Brian. Would you, here's the comparison they use on the radio. Would you call a lawyer to fix your toilet if it broke?
I would not.
No, you want to have.
He's a plumbing outsider, though.
Yeah, you don't have a guy go, I'm a plumber outsider. I'm not a part of the whole system. I'm going to come in there and change everything. Yeah, you're a lawyer. You're going to jack up my pipes. Like, I don't understand why we have this narrative in our heads that that's what we need. So when a guy like Ted Cruz comes along and goes, I fight Washington at every turn. Oh, yeah. Until I'm in there, and then I'm part of the system, and then I
right,
can't really
exactly. Until they assimilate me as one of their own.
And they all do it. Even when they're in office, they pretend like they're outsiders.
Yeah.
Reagan did it. Clinton did it. All of their re-elections were based on this, well, when I grew up in my hometown or whatever, I wasn't used to no fancy-dancy. I'm like, dude, you just spent 4 years in the White House.
Hey, Daryl. Uh-huh. You remember 3 minutes ago when Scott said he's not going to get into this?
I did do that, didn't I? I did do that. All right, so forget about me. Forget about that. I'm just irritated by it. Let's do this.
Hey.
Let's talk about today in Star Trek history.
Well, on this day today, the new series was announced. Well, no, that's not really
exactly.
On this
2 minutes
today.
Ago today.
On this day in 1967, the first day of filming on TOS's A Piece of the Action happened.
Oh, well, good for him.
That's the Chicago Planet.
Oh, the Chicago Planet. Okay. Oh, wait a minute.
Action scene.
Daryl, I just thought of something that'll put a little bee in your bonnet until the series comes out. Oh, man, should I even do this?
Oh, geez.
This feels mean. What if there's shaky cam in it?
Oh, there won't be.
I bet there will be.
Right, like an office-style documentary about living on the Enterprise.
I don't think that'll be... It won't be that kind of shaky cam, but there will definitely be shaky cam.
Right. Well, if the ship is hit, that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's
watch this new Muppet show because it's got that.
Well, you don't like that one because it's fake shaky cam.
Yeah, exactly.
But this other thing is going to be like NYPD Blue shaky cam. You watch, man. It's going to be like, Captain, come quick to my quarters. And they're having dialogue as they run down the hall and get in the elevator. And it's like a guy with a hand cam following them while they're talking, circling around them. I'm telling you, that's what they're going to do.
So, Daryl, do you want the new show to focus around another iteration of the Enterprise? Or do you feel like that's been done to death and we want more stuff like Deep Space Nine and Voyager? And
I'd like more Deep Space.
Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space.
More Deeps. Spapes.
Yeah,
it's got to be the Enterprise.
Yeah, I think they don't even try it without it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would be
that's
shocked.
That's the main character.
I'd be shocked. I don't think they can do Voyager. Or, you know, they can't do any of these fake ships. They got to go the big one, and it's got to be a future crew. Yeah.
To basics, I say.
I agree.
Okay. All
exploring
right.
the quadrant, finding new races.
Yeah, it did say that in the news thing that they were going to do that.
And you
they did say Enterprise.
Oh, they did. Okay.
No, not Enterprise, but they were going to explore strange new worlds.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really? And seek out new
life and new civilizations to go where no one has gone before. Not man.
Whoa.
No one. I don't want to blow anyone's mind here. All right, Daryl. Good job. That's great. Let's get back to the deal here. Chicago Planet Day. Try to answer this question. Obata, Tenarius, Argolis or the Lorenz cluster? Which one of these did they find that Borg hue in?
Well, let's see here. The ones that sound most likely are Argolis and Lorenz. And I think Lorenz was named after somebody that worked on the show, but I don't think it was this episode. I think it was an earlier one. Mm. So that means I'll have to choose Argolis.
Argolis, you say? Well, let's find out if that's correct. Had a bad couple of weeks last week, so this is going to be your big chance. Let's see.
Redeem.
Yeah, big redemption coming up. Is it right?
Congratulations. You're a winner.
The Argolis cluster. They are exploring the Argolis cluster when they pick up a signal from one of the moons. They beam down and discover the Borg. Crusher wants to treat the Borg, and Worf wants to kill it. That's a big shock. Here is the theme or the deal of the talk, the stuff.
Let me at least stabilize his condition. Give him a chance of surviving until they get here.
Your concern is noted, Doctor. But any intervention on our part would alert the Borg to our having been there.
I'm afraid we've turned that corner already.
Kill it now. Make it appear that it died in the crash. Leave no evidence that we were ever here.
Jeez, Worf, dude.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Oh, holy cow. I just got a new tweet by CBS talking about the new show. Oh. So now they're on Twitter announcing it. Very cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be focused on... the Enterprise, which is now being run by a bunch of Klingon children who spend all their time on the holodeck. This should be great.
Captain Barkley, right? We got Captain Barkley?
Exactly. Captain Barkley leads a crew of Klingon children who spend all their time looking at Sherlock in the holodeck. This should be a great series.
Brian, I just want to thank you for helping me write today's Extra Life comic. I think that might just work. I'm going to put that in there.
My pleasure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Put that on the Romper Room channel.
I'll get that on there. Daryl, good job. You've done it. That means for at least day one of these 3 days that we have you, you've accomplished your goal, which is to get a correct answer, and you are the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast, and now he'll play a game with us. Cleverly designed to stump us. So what is it?
Yes, I will mention two items that were sold at an auction and give you the price, and you tell me which item sold for that price.
Oh, it's like a game show one again.
Right. Yep, same thing too.
I have some music for that-ish. Where is it? All right, go.
Is this the auction price of a life cast of Brent Spiner's face or Radar's hat?
Okay.
Radar's hat.
Or a life cast of Brent Spiner's face.
Was Radar famous for his little hat? His little cap hat?
He wore it all the time.
Okay. It seems like they all did. Like Frank had one.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's Radar's little hat.
Okay. And he didn't take it off much because he was balding early. Or maybe he did. I don't know. All right, it's fine. Whatever you got, give it to me.
That's what she said.
Yeah, for his Bob Dole hand.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. All right, go ahead.
$1,024.
$1,024. Okay. Let's see.
Oh, this is hard because I'd think the Spiner thing
cheap.
Would go for more.
It sold for a megabyte.
Yeah.
It went for a horizontal resolution. In 2002.
Right, yes.
Or vertical, I guess. No, horizontal.
All right, so let's see. $1,024. I think that a life cast, since that's such an easy thing, once you've got the mold, you can crank out life casts all you want, right?
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a Brent Spiner thing as opposed to a one-of-a-kind item like Radar's hat.
Because there's no... Yeah, you're right, because you can duplicate the masks. That's a totally good point. I would not have thought of that. But also, I just think it would go for more. If you couldn't duplicate it, the masks would make more sense the other way. But since you can, it's flipped for me. So yeah, we'll say that it's got to be for
Spiner Cast,
and
which is a new podcast I'm going to be starting up here pretty soon.
Yeah, the Spiner Cast. Can't wait. Can you talk about his appearance in ID4 Independence Day where he died?
Yes, okay. Of course.
All right, great. Go ahead, Daryl.
The cast of Brent Spiner's head sold for $600.
Oh.
So that was Radar's hat.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Well, the logic was sound. We just we need to slide our scale down a little bit.
I guess so. I feel bad about what's happened, but we can only move forward.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Let's do the news brought to you by
going to BlizzCon.
Yes.
Going to be there Thursday night?
Yep. Yes.
Make sure and check out the Con Before the Storm. Follow
Con Before Storm on Twitter for details.
Yeah, we're gonna. I'm gonna be there for a chunk of it. Really? Not sure what it's gonna look like yet, because originally the plan was like, hey, maybe we'll do a little pre-prediction instance thing, but I don't know where Dills is gonna be, and I don't know where Terps is gonna be, and it's kind of all over the place. But at like around 8 o'clock or something, I think I'm gonna be on stage for a while, the microphone, talking to people. I'm excited.
So who's putting this one together?
This is like the world of podcast people.
So
Rose and all end up in this.
Right. Rylan Dune. I need to go there because he's my Lyrics Undercover guy.
Yeah. And it's just Thursday, so it should be pretty easy to, and it's that night, so it should be pretty easy for us to get in there.
Cool. All right, I'm in.
Anyway,
I'm in.
All right, good. Brian's in. Fred Thompson died. U.S. Senator.
Yeah.
Fred Thompson. You know him from such things as? Whoops.
Hold on. You have the clip?
I have a clip somewhere.
I don't give a shit.
You know him from that?
Yeah. He was in one of the, like, Patriot games or...
He's in a lot of Bruckheimer business.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot
he's
of
He's your
those.
Guy that you go to when you need, when you need the a realistic-looking politician for your movie who happens to also be a politician.
Yeah, or a colonel, or like a, he's very presidential. He's very Southern senator type.
Die Hard 2. He was the airport owner guy in Die Hard 2,
correct.
Right?
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Lots of roles like that. Always interesting to watch on camera. I always thought he was a fascinating actor. He was on Law & Order for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah, lots of Law & Order.
Really great on there as the DA of this.
Cape Fear, the new Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah, the newish Cape Fear he was on as well.
Days of Thunder. There we go. Hunt for Red October he was in. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. Love me some Fred Thompson in my life. And he ran for president in 2008. Now, I want people to chew on something for a second.
Okay.
Fred Thompson ran as a U.S. senator from Tennessee, by the way, a former one. He was GOP presidential candidate in 2008, Watergate attorney and longtime Law & Order star. Died 73 years old, died on Sunday from a recurrence of lymphoma, according to a statement released by his family. He had recently purchased a house in Nashville to return to Tennessee, but then was first diagnosed in 2004. So here's the deal. Let's say he ran in 2008 and won. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, if he would have won, Barack Obama did not win. Let's say that it was a Fred Thompson year.
Mm-hmm.
And he won it and was reelected. He would be dying a year before he is no longer president. Think of that.
So basically you're saying that his death was preordained to happen on November 1st. Like his expiration date was November 1st. And no matter what other outside influences.
Well, as a person who does not at all buy into predestination at all, I would say, no, I don't think that. But I think it is a crazy coincidence that this guy was, and I know we vote on like, what, the 8th, November 8th or something?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The idea that basically the month that he would be out of office and a new president would be coming in, he died a year before
what did
that.
What did he die of? Like what?
Cancer.
Okay.
Lymphoma. So if he would have died, who would have been his VP? Nobody knows. But we would right now be swearing in a new president, like today.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Isn't that crazy?
It's interesting. So I wonder, you can't, it's so hard to say that if he would have done that the eventuality would have been the same.
Sure.
Because he might have been treated differently. Like if he was president, there might have been more medical attention. Lymphoma. It was a recurrence of lymphoma. So, it would have been caught. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they track you more or something. Maybe they keep track of you. You got doctors around you all the time.
I think it's, I think you can't say that he would have died.
He could have had a worse time. He could have had the housing crisis, had a heart attack, and died 6 months in.
Totally true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So all these things are possible. But it just occurred to me that it would be just a very different news cycle right now if he'd have been president. I just like the guy. I think he's cool. So I'm sad to see he's gone. We were just talking about him, like on Film Sack or something. Anyway.
Right. We were totally. Yeah.
Chipotle.
I mean, that's like saying, John F. Kennedy wouldn't have died in 1963. Or he would have died had he not been president. Like something would have happened.
Well,
to him.
Not exactly, because he was shot.
I know, but that was the eventualities change, you're never committed to the road you're on.
This is correct. Like yes. There was no, I don't believe there was any specific expiration date,
right?
On anyone, for that matter. Right. But had he, let's just for funsies, just say he lived.
Okay.
He would be dead today, and we would be going, "Uh-oh, President Thompson has died."
I mean, cancer is definitely different than a gunshot because you're president.
I can't believe Vice President Palin is being sworn in as president.
Oh no!
The worst eventuality has happened.
Right.
Chipotle. Let's talk about them.
Yeah, let's talk about Chipotle.
Or as Eric Van Skyhawk calls them, Chipotle. He can't help it. He just can't. Chipotle. They have shut their Seattle and Portland stores down completely after a E. coli outbreak. Wonderful. Chipotle Mexican Grill Incorporated said on Sunday it has closed all of its restaurants in two West Coast markets due to reported E. coli bacteria that is being investigated by the company and health authorities. Quote, after being notified by the health department officials in Seattle and Portland, Oregon areas that there were investigating approximately 20 cases of E. coli, including people who had ate at six of our restaurants in those areas, we immediately closed all of our restaurants in the area out of an abundance of caution. Chipotle said in an emailed statement. The company said the vast majority of its stores in the area had reported no problems. We offer our deepest sympathies for those who have been affected by the situation. No word yet on when they'll reopen or that they were even the cause.
Right. I mean, it could be, well, it does seem like it's not a coincidence that it's 20 cases of E. coli, people who ate at six of their restaurants. So, you know, maybe it was a bad batch of lettuce that they got or something like that.
Well, it says here they were investigating 20 cases, including people who ate at six of their restaurants. So it's including. So we don't know what that means. That could be right. Five people of the 20. We don't know.
Well, yeah, I think it'd be a minimum of six.
Well, let's see.
Unless you could have people who ate.
Oh, right. You make a good point. You're right. It would have to be at least six.
But that's right. I mean, it could be 20 people who ate at six of their restaurants. But
The way they say it here is vague.
It is vague. Hey, you know, I'm not going to be going, regardless of not being on the West Coast, I'm not in any hurry to go to Chipotle.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. Not really wanting to rush out and give it a test. See where what's in the beans, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Let's see. Crisis and Burnt have tanked at the box office. Oh, I have another theory I can't wait to share with you here.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Our brand is Crisis, is that new Sandra Bullock thing.
This is the one with...
It's Oscar bait.
Billy Bob Thornton, too, right?
Yeah, it's one of those Oscar bait movies.
Yep.
It completely tanked. So did this other one, the Bradley Cooper deal, Burnt. Which, you know, you'd think Bradley Cooper would be pretty bankable.
Right.
Here's what I believe is happening. They both really just sucked. Like, less than $5 million or something.
And, okay.
Let's see. The box office brought in $74 million total over the holiday weekend. It was the worst weekend of the year. And any movie that isn't, you know, a big, loud movie tanked.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my theory. I have a theory. I think we are inching closer and closer and more obviously to a time and a place where movies about the acting and the kind of quiet nature of the story and the more serious fare are no longer viable as films you can release in theaters. There'll be few exceptions, but for the most part, we're not going to want to see a movie about dealing with political crises in movie theaters anymore. This stuff is going to be the purview of like streaming or direct video
You go to HBO or Netflix.
Exactly.
Or like
and TV will become the new version of this, basically. You'll get just long forms of this or even one-offs, but they won't be things that you'll line up in the theaters to go see. There's a reason that Sandra Bullock's, what's the space one?
Gravity.
Gravity. There's a reason Gravity just was a huge hit. And that this isn't. She's still a great actress either way. It's still good movies either way. Well, what's the difference? Well, one is a giant spectacle that you can see on a huge IMAX screen with 3D glasses on. And it's worth going out to see the spectacle. The other one's this quiet little thing you could watch on your couch.
Well, let me say this. All right. So Bridge of Spies, which is another political thriller. Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That has a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's doing really, really well. And it made $8.1 million.
So it's doing really, really bad.
Well.
That's terrible. That number is awful.
I think that's a weekend, right? Isn't that weekend one weekend?
That is one weekend, and that's bad. they need to be in the a successful weekend movie should be making somewhere in it when it launches somewhere between 25 and 55 million. That's the range.
I see what you're saying. Well, Bridge of Spies has been out for a couple of weeks. This isn't the first weekend box office. This is last weekend's box office.
Sure. Bridge of Spies. But also you're
in comparison, The Martian made 3 million more than that with 11.4. But yeah, it's been around for a lot longer, and it's opening weekend.
And it's a huge spectacle. And the other movie, Goosebumps, right below it, which isn't... none of these did great this weekend, but Goosebumps, in its second week or third week, whatever it is, doing a little bit better because, hey, there's a kids movie that a bunch of kids can take your kids to. Mm-hmm. Without those hooks, I don't think your movies like our brand is Crisis.
It's such a shitty name for a movie.
Well, it's a bad name anyway, and it's not being reviewed very well, which is another
33% around.
So you're not even benefiting from any of the talk. But I'm just saying, like, the movies. Well, I guess Burnt's doing bad that way too. 29. So part of this could be that they're just getting crappy reviews.
They're just getting bad reviews. I think that's probably more of it than the type of movie. I mean, those type of movies aren't box office hits anyway, because they're, you know, people do, like you say, people want to see The Martian. They want to see landscapes and space and fights and car chases and things like that in theaters. And they'll say, oh, Bridge of Spies, I can wait till that comes out on video. It's not something that demands a big screen.
That's exactly my point. I think it's more and more. I just think more and more that's going to be the way it is, because it isn't totally that way yet, and there's still going to be that weird sleeper thing that comes out, like the Cancer Girl last year, whatever that one was called, Cancer Lady movie. What's it called? It's based on some book. Girl got cancer. Boyfriend stuck with her anyway. He had cancer too.
Fault in Our Stars.
That's the one.
Okay.
That did really well, but it also appealed to, you know, some like younger readers who love the book and things like that. But
see, a movie like this can't make its money back going straight to video, going straight to HBO, can it?
No, that's my whole point, is why couldn't it have been an HBO production to begin with? Why couldn't this have been an HBO movie? Because they do that all the time with big actors. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're going to make a show like, season one of True Detective, you have two hot stars from Hollywood, one of the hottest from Hollywood, and you made a little 12-episode show with them, whatever it was.
Right.
And that's all you were ever going to do with them, and that was considered a critical hit and a big hit for HBO, and everybody made money and walked away. Like, that's where that stuff's going to happen. And I'm fine with that. I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I just think movie theaters need to start bracing themselves for the truth, which is
I worry that that's
it bums me out from a movie culture perspective,
right? Yeah,
because then it means it's all Transformers.
I think
I found a Transformer. That's all we're gonna hear for the rest of our lives. But there are always going to be exceptions, dude. There'll always be a dark horse that does it somehow. You know, My Big Fat Greek Wedding shouldn't have been a hit of any kind, and it was like this huge hit when it came out. Well, why? Well, because it hits a certain chord, and that'll always be a thing. But I think less and less are you comfortable just saying, yep, Sandra Bullock's in it. That means box office success. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it works that way anymore.
Sure. All right. I'll go along with that.
What else is happening? Tillman. You may not know him, but you do. You just don't know you do. The beloved skateboarding bulldog. You know that bulldog that skateboards on YouTube?
On the YouTube video stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he's always on the YouTube, that dog.
Always on the YouTube. That's actually what I almost said. Oh, the one on the YouTube.
On the YouTube. He has died at the age of 10.
Aww.
He's an English bulldog, beloved by legions of fans worldwide for his handsome face and mad skateboarding skills. Died this weekend at the age of 10. His human, Ron Davis, announced the sad news on Facebook. I'm sorry to announce to the world I lost a true legend. My best bud Tillman passed away last night of natural causes. We spent 10 years making so many incredible memories, skating, surfing, hanging out together. Getting money from Google because we had it on YouTube. No word can truly describe how much he'll be missed. Thanks for all the good times, Tilly. So the dog is gone.
Yeah, this isn't just a dog that's sitting on a skateboard that's rolling down a hill. I mean, he's like...
Oh, yeah, he rides
it. He's pushing it and you know, and going around curves and stuff like that. Well, now he's chewing on the wheels, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah,
distracted. I mean, he runs along it, then hops on and rides it for a while. It's cute.
His viral videos made a lot of ad money for that guy, so I bet he's sad.
Oh, I'm sure. He's the new Tony Hawk.
He is. Like when Grumpy Cat dies, that owner's going to be sad.
Oh, yeah.
There goes his money.
I hope they're saving their money. Because cats have a, you know, like 13 to 20 year.
Yeah. Especially the ones that have a handicap and that you've exploited for the last three or four years.
Listen, I know a lot of everybody said that when they've seen Grumpy Cat in person, he's always sleeping. Yeah. So yeah. That the cat isn't, I don't think that cat's leading a high stress lifestyle.
It's well rested. Everything's fine.
Right. Very well rested.
Oh, hello, everyone. Scott here, taking a quick break to tell you about our friends at Audible.com. Audible has over 180,000 titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. What is Audible? Audiobooks. You got time to sit down and read on a book? You want to be in your car, commuting, jogging, whatever it is. That's how you want your books. Like this one, NOS 4A2, a novel by Joe Hill, narrated, wait for it, by Kate Mulgrew. You know who Joe Hill is, right? Stephen King's son. Anyway, let's hear what she has to say.
Shorter Way, 1986 to 1989. Haverhill, Massachusetts. The brat was 8 years old the first time she rode over the covered bridge that crossed the distance between lost and found.
All right, so there you have it. There's just a taste of it. She sounds great. Holy crap. That sounds awesome. Also set in Massachusetts. Jeez, Joe Hill, you're like your dad, I guess. You want to get this book for free? Guess how you can do it for free. You simply go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream and get that book or any book of your choice for free right now at audible.com. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be time for Major Spoilers, then V for Video Games. And we got a couple emails after that. Before all that, though, Brian brought music and we'll play it now.
Yes, we're going to do this one right here, going out to Shane Wigmore. Says, been listening to the show for almost a year, and I figured I'd finally make a request. Well, welcome. Enjoy your first year of TMS. What better time to do this than for my 24th rotation around this blazing ball of blistering gas? Oh, and I'm getting married on Halloween. That's pretty important too, right? Yeah. Love the show, though. Signed, Shane.
Well, it sounds like Garrett married also the got Garrett got married that same day.
Yes, he did. Yeah, mm-hmm. Big congratulations to our buddy Garrett Weinzierl too. Mm-hmm. So Shane wanted to hear a cover by his favorite band, Blind Guardian. This is a blast. These guys have a very cool hard rock sound, but they still are true to the originals. If it'll make more sense when you hear it. This is from their 1996 album, The Forgotten Tales. It's their cover of the Cordettes' classic. Wow, this takes me back to the Future too. Mr. Sandman.
Oh, that sounds good. For some reason, the file isn't there, though. Why?
Oh,
why is that not working?
What'd you do with it?
Oh, there it is. I found it. Everyone, okay. It's fine. Just hold your emails till later when there's something really to complain about. Here's your song. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her the cutest that I've ever seen. Give her two lips like roses and clover. And tell her that her lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone. Don't have nobody to call my own. Please turn on your magic beam, Mr. Sandman. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make her the cure.
can barf and talk at the same time. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of cannabis, blah, 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 blah. I heard it.
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. We're back. Don't ask me what Daryl was doing there.
I can barf and talk at the same time. Yeah.
I meant to ask him about that.
Is he doing some cocking? It's what he sounds like. He can burp and cock at the same time.
Let's hope that is what he's saying, because also
he's sealing a window, people.
Yeah,
he's keeping the draft
something like
from
that.
Getting in.
Something yeah. like that. All right, it's let's call Steven. I like Steven.
I do too.
He's a cool guy.
I think it's fine. We can talk to him. Sure.
Okay. You're all right with this?
Yeah, fine. Sure. Sure.
One last
sure.
chance before I do it. For sure.
Okay. No. No.
Okay. Forget it. Me. We're not doing it. We're out. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now as we join with the one, the only, Mr. Steven Schleicher on the line. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Steven.
I am good.
Fantastic. You, I followed all your Halloween's goings-ons over
oh,
the week.
Yeah. Oh,
we hadn't even talked about Halloween. How did everybody's Halloween go? Good, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. We did a Gilligan's Island thing. I posted pictures all over Twitter of that business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I
saw
was
some
surprised.
Of that.
Both of my kids were done by 8:30.
Oh, my.
We went out about 6:30.
Yeah.
And wow. The oldest usually was like, oh, man, I can stay out till 10 o'clock tonight. And we got to cover all these neighborhoods. We did like 4 blocks, yeah. And he was like, yeah, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah, I think as they get older, it begins to change.
Well, he still wants candy.
Yeah, oh, no, yeah, they want that, but they don't want the grinding to get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is what it feels like doing sometimes when you're out there. Yeah. What was the weather like where you guys live? Because for
oh,
us,
it was nice,
yeah,
man.
It was really
like
nice.
57, something like that, and that was still at 8 o'clock at night, so
yeah. There's nothing like good weather on Halloween. I'll tell you that much. We had hot dogs in a fire pit and hung around while a bunch of kids came by, and it was great.
Fun. Yeah, that's...
Good times.
It's the way to do it.
Well,
for sure.
Steven comes on the show from majorspoilers.com, talks about all the things happening in pop culture, comics. Well, maybe not all of them, but a bunch of
them.
Well,
no, because Daryl stole the Star Trek stories.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he totally did. Do you have a take on that real quick? Anything you want to
I think
mention?
It's interesting. If you remember a couple of years ago, I had said that someone had contacted me and said they weren't going to do a new Star Trek movie, but instead they were going to go back to television. I guess it took a little bit longer, as Daryl was saying, they were trying to sort out who gets what.
Yeah.
And now we see Star Trek coming in 2017.
Well, it seems like they've, you know, we're coming off of the movies. They have a chance here to
oh, yeah,
mainstream
yeah.
it and make it good. But
well, and with the success of what we're seeing with the CW, with The Flash and Arrow, Constantine showing up this week on Arrow, and even with the Marvel Avengers stuff, it makes sense to try to take some of your movie properties and work them back into television.
Probably a more friendly time than, say, 95 when Voyager was, or not 95, what am I saying? Well, I guess so, 95, like when Voyager was trying to do its thing for mm-hmm. Paramount's new channel, which was, what was it called? It was called this, not
the UPN.
UPN, UPN.
Yep. UPN, right.
Yeah, yes. So when that happened, that feels like that was maybe a weird thing out of time, and now mm-hmm. there's enough quote-unquote fantasy or genre fiction on TV that there's a better fit. So mm-hmm. I say bring
yep.
it.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Let's talk about that Preacher trailer, which I saw.
Violence upon violence upon violence.
Did not know he this. Well, first two things. I didn't know that Dominic Cooper guy was in it. I really, really like him a lot.
Yeah,
oh,
he looks
yeah,
really
he's
good.
Great.
He's mm-hmm. super cool. And I also didn't know that Seth Rogen had anything to do with this. I guess he's executive producer and helped make this happen.
Yes, exactly. He and Evan Goldberg, Patriots in Crime. Mm. They've been working on this for a while now, and even the first poster for Preacher. Rogan accidentally leaked like 4 different times online saying that it was coming in 2016, and AMC's like, I don't know about January, maybe mid 2016. And it looks like AMC has said mid 2016 for the launch of the series.
Well, what's your take? So you've read the comic, obviously. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Read it. I didn't like the comic very much. I know it's beloved by many. I found it to be caustically like very Garth Ennis angry at mm-hmm. everybody. Everything mm-hmm. sucks. Very nihilistic. Which I don't necessarily enjoy in my comics, but on the whole, like the core concepts I really like. So if the movie or if the show can, because the show's going to have to pull back a little bit from
maybe.
The content there. I think so. AMC, but AMC, as basic cable as they are, I don't think they have carte blanche here.
They are bringing in for people that are offended, they're bringing in Arseface, and we've seen a picture of Arseface from the show.
Yeah.
And he is as messed up in the show as he is in the comics.
Oh, wow, that's
so. If that is disturbing, and there have been, you know, there, you can go look for Preacher Arseface, and they did a whole cover with his big ugly mug right there. They're going that far with it, at least.
Yeah.
And of course, just the whole religious aspect is going to be enough to flip a bunch of people out.
Yeah, that's true. It's very subversive, this thing. Yeah.
I will say this: if you've read The Boys, also by Garth Ennis, Preacher seems way toned down than anything that went on in The Boys.
Yeah,
which is Ennis's take on the superhero genre.
Yeah, that's true. If you're comparing the two, this is his soft side.
Yeah, he's actually being quite nice here.
Yeah, the trailer's cool though. It's got a nice tone to it. I feel like I don't know. That all feels right to me.
I think it does. I think there's something about it that I think will generate enough buzz. And even though it may not be exactly following the storyline that we saw in the comics, if it's doing what The Walking Dead is doing, then I think it's going to be a huge success.
Yeah. Walking Dead right now. Man, the controversy about that.
I know, right?
Yeah, but you know what? You and I have read that. Well, I don't know if you've kept up, but
I've gotten up to the point where
this,
you know,
supposedly,
that one thing happened.
Yeah, so I'm not that. I feel like those Game of Thrones people. When something would happen, you're like, oh, I read the book. I know what happened.
The book's been out for years, or The Walking Dead. That issue's been out for over a year now. So
yeah, we're not giving anything away here, people.
No.
It's just the thing that happened that everyone's freaking out about. If you know what it is, then you know. And if
although
you know,
I think everybody listening now would probably know what everyone's freaking out about, even though it's not been the quote-unquote 2 weeks yet.
Yeah, or at the very least, they know somebody's freaking out about something.
Yeah.
And... And what's funny is I haven't even seen the episode, but as soon as I saw the Twitter uproar, I didn't even see a name. I went, oh, they got to that, did they?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like obvious to me that they finally did it. But we're not spoiling it.
No, not at all.
So, all right. Well, that's all good news.
I think it will be for AMC.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's nice to see them do something, you know, this seems like that's them showing confidence in the genre. Them saying, yeah, comics have worked out for us real well over here. So let's do another one that's also edgy. And if you
can see zombies getting their brains blown out and other things happening on Walking Dead, then, you know, they're going to get away with enough on Preacher. But I think the one thing people were really hoping for was this would have been a Cinemax or HBO series.
Yeah. What you definitely won't get is the kind of caustic, really out there language that you get in the comic. The comic book is mean-spirited sometimes to the point of like, whoa, Garth Ennis. Do you have friends? Do you like... what do you eat for breakfast? Like nails and chicken wire? Like it's just rough. So anyway, I'm very excited. We'll see what it looks like. What's Hellblazer doing? Hellblazer shows up on Arrow. What the hell's that about?
Yeah, so, you know, this was kind of a really cool thing that they kind of teased at the end of last year when Constantine was not picked up for a new season over at NBC. And they said, well, maybe this character isn't done yet. They had hinted some things at San Diego Comic-Con. And then they kind of let slip over the last couple of months that the character, played by the same actor who was in the NBC show, will be making an appearance this week on Arrow to kind of help tie up what's going on with Black Canary. And people are really excited about that. So excited, in fact, that the executive producer of the Constantine series said, hey, if you guys do, like, I think 2,000 retweets of some tweet that he put out over the weekend, that he would release the script for what would have been episode 14 of the NBC show. And it got like over 3,000, like within an hour. He's like, okay, well, here you go. And so the tweet's been taken down, but major spoilers, we've got that link if you want to read what would have been in Constantine episode 14.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
this kind of crossover stuff blows my mind, because how did they get away with it? It's like...
And this is the thing that a lot of people forget, is that people are like, well, you know, Fox is ruining Batman. It's not Fox ruining Batman. Warner Brothers is producing that show and selling it to Fox. So that's a WB production. Mm-hmm. Just like Constantine was a WB production that NBC bought. And they've even come out, the showrunner was like, yeah, NBC probably wasn't the best fit for this series. So WB owns it. They can do whatever the heck they want with it, including throwing it on one of their own networks, CW. So,
Well, I don't want to pee on anyone's parade, but I don't think NBC is a good place for any shows these days.
Not really, sadly. No.
They all go there to die. Unless, if they're exciting and good, it's like Hannibal, and then they pull it. It's like
I started to watch that Heroes Reborn.
Yeah, it's poo.
And I got into like three episodes. I was like, okay, well, this could be good. And then I saw the fourth episode had appeared, and I was like, you know what? I really don't want to watch this show anymore.
It's poo. Yeah,
that's pretty much what happened to me too. I was like, I'm watching it because it's like pity watching. It's like, all right, I'm hoping it's going to be good.
I couldn't get a half an hour through the pilot. I didn't like it. I just could tell that we're just treading that water again.
Yeah.
I was like, what are we doing? Did we learn nothing from that last
one? And the whole Years of Future Past thing again popping up was really kind of a letdown.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's unfortunate. Plus, I'm so much more drawn into, like, I don't know what I'm more drawn into these days. Like, TV's being weird with me right now. Like, music, even. All I want to listen to is, like, old 40s crooners. I don't know what's going on with me, but I don't care about anything else. Oh, I like 21 Pilots. Those guys are great. I'm totally into them right now. But like, old music or weird old shows or stuff that's super obscure, or I only want to watch Fargo or whatever.
Yeah.
It's because you're old.
I guess so. I saw an amazing documentary yesterday. I'm saving for Recommendals this week. I have to talk about that documentary. Holy crap.
Cool. Okay.
But that's what I want right now. I don't want same old stuff. I want something new, different. It's got to either be a throwback to something that's out of my time, or it's got to be something totally rad and different that isn't just a rehash of a million other things. And man, that Heroes Reborn, oh man, that is a rehash.
That was totally 1999 is what that show was.
Big time. Ugh, it's gross. Anyway.
Well, that's also why, you know, all the cool shows, House of Cards, Daredevil, the upcoming Jessica Jones, while they're all going to Netflix and Hulu, because you can do different things there that you can't do on network television.
And that Man in the High Tower, guy in the top tower, what is it? Man in the High Tower is my favorite spinoff from Police Academy. But anyway, I loved the pilot when they were doing pilot season for that, and I had completely missed the fact that the whole thing's up there now, the whole season. Mm-hmm. I am.
No, the whole season's not up there. It's those first two episodes. It's not until the 20th, I think, that they release the whole season.
Okay, cool. I saw season one on the listing and I went, oh my gosh, is it up there? So yeah, I haven't even touched it yet, but I really, really want to see that continue. I love that pilot.
Yeah, it was really good. And I don't remember, because I wasn't part of the pilot season, what's up there now, or what they had up there for a free preview, was the first two episodes, the first 2 hours of the show. And I don't know if the pilot was 2 hours or if when you watched it, it was broken up into one-hour bits or not. But man, the way the second episode ends, I really want to see what comes up next. And without giving too much away, the Nazis and then the Japanese won the war, and America has been split in two. But there may be something that is making people question what's going on.
Yeah, it's an alternate future thing. It's Tom Merritt's favorite book, by the way,
Philip K. Dick ever wrote. But I can tell
they're deviating from
it. The series is way deviating from the book, because the book is so open-ended.
They're taking the core concept, which is, hey, what if the Nazis and the Japanese won the war, and that what does America look like then? And now the show is taking that premise and kind of going in its own direction. And I really liked what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So bring it. Oh, man. Yep. I'm stoked about
that. I'm telling you, the next 2 weeks, well, 3 weeks, are going to be crazy with pop culture stuff. Video games, new shows up on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, video games that are coming out, and a whole lot more.
It's
new
bad. If you're really into a broad range of pop culture right now, you're screwed.
I know, right?
You're screwed. There's so much. It's too much.
My son was just saying the other day, he's like, oh, Dad, doesn't Battlefronts come out in a few weeks? I'm like, yep. And guess what we're doing all of Thanksgiving?
Yeah. That's what Thanksgiving's for. Forget about going outside and playing football.
Yeah.
You can play that damn Star Wars game till your eyes bleed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Steven, it's always good to have you on. Majorspoilers.com, of course, is the place to go. Do you have anything you'd like people to point their squinties at?
We would love to see more subscribers on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/majorspoilersvideo.
Oh, we'll do that, everybody. Go just do it.
Yep.
What's the problem? It's a single click. Big whoop.
What are you waiting for?
Steven?
A single click with lots of rewards, with lots of videos.
And I'll follow him on Twitter, @MajorSpoilers. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
See you guys.
Bye now. All right.
Very good.
I love that stuff.
I do too.
We can talk about that stuff all day. It's kind of what we do. But
it is crazy, though, how many great games are coming out in the next few weeks. Ugh.
It's going to be nuts.
And like, TV and media, so just everything.
Yeah. No, it's insane. There's never been quite one like it, and we're going to talk more about it now. Veronica Ann Belmont on the line. Hello, Veronica.
Hello, good morning.
I'm still licking my wounds after being destroyed by you in Duck Game last week.
I trounced you in that last round.
You creamed me.
Simply crushed
I did,
everybody.
And I was even using a controller. I don't know what the hell happened to me. That was awful.
Fingers of Fury.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Fingers of Fury. Veronica Fingers of Fury Belmont, that's your new moniker.
Nope,
not doing that one.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Don't want that to stick. Don't want that to end up on Wikipedia, right?
That was really fun. We plan on doing a lot more of that sort of thing coming up. Not this Thursday, because I'll be at BlizzCon, but coming up in the following
Maybe I'll
weeks.
Do something on my own. You guys can follow me
totally.
At Veronica Belmont on Twitch, because I won't be at BlizzCon.
I know. We're sad that we're not going to see you there. But
that's okay.
That's all right. Well, I'll try to find an equivalent who will remind me that the room is full of hot farts. Anyway, Veronica comes on the show on Mondays. We talk about video games. We were just discussing how this year is bonkers before the end of the year if you're a video game fan or even a pop culture fan generally. And man, it's nuts. But I'm sure you've brought something specific for us today. What's going on?
Indeed. Did you play Arkham Knight on PC by any chance?
I sure did.
Oh, how was that?
It was great. I don't know what happened, but I was one of the few people, like apparently the few people, who didn't have a single problem, and it ran like butter the entire time. I had no
problems.
That's
fantastic. Yeah, you are probably in the minority, perhaps, but they are offering a full refund to players who bought the game on Steam. So if you bought the game and it's not been working for you, you can return it. They are giving up. They're throwing in the towel. Full refund. Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Yeah,
Now
they patched the hell out of it since, and supposedly it works great, and they did a full re-release of the game on PC. So this isn't them pulling up stakes entirely, but it's basically them saying, look, especially all you early adopters who bought back when the game should have worked and didn't, we're going to honor that and take it back. I think it's a really good move by them. They'll probably take some additional heat for, you know, as this being some sort of failure, but it's really sad. The whole thing sucks because that game's really good.
And, I know. It played so well for people on console. So it's very disappointing that PC felt kind of tacked on and didn't work very well for a lot of people.
Do you know if the refund is okay? So the way it works right now on Steam, you have 14 days or something to get a refund if you've only played it twice, or I forget how it works. There's some rules, but did they just reset that basically and just say, all right, starting today, you can.
Yeah, I think the only caveat is that if you bought all the DLC, you can't just return the DLC. You have to return the full game as well.
Oh.
But yeah, all the announcement is on the Steam page. So yeah, I'm pretty sure until the end of 2015, they're offering a full refund regardless of how long you played the product.
It's interesting because it's considered this year's big failure on ports. And every year there's always something bad. Like last year, it was Assassin's Creed Unity PC version was terrible. It was broken left and right. And this year, these guys sort of win that award. But it's ironic. The same company, like a month and a half later, released the Mad Max game on PC to, at least technically speaking, glowing reviews. It ran smooth and beautiful and wonderful and no issues. And it's the same developer. Well, not same developer, same studios or same publisher. It's both of them are Warner Brothers. And man, it didn't matter. The Batman thing was such a black eye. People were just boycotting their games on PC.
Yeah, it's not good for them moving forward. People are not going to forget this for a while.
Yeah, and it's a bad community to piss off because they're so vocal. And
no kidding.
Have such high expectations, and it's not the same as a console player who maybe doesn't care as much. And I'm not saying console players don't care. If it was this busted on console, it'd be another issue. But PC gamers are used to being treated like the third platform. And when this happens this overtly, they do not go out quietly.
Well, hopefully nothing like this happens with Fallout 4, because I pre-ordered my copy.
PC.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Was Fallout 3 was... I mean, there were bugs, but the PC version was pretty good, wasn't it?
I mean, I think there were always... I'm trying to remember. Maybe I blocked it out.
Wait, weren't you in one of those? You were.
I was in the DLC for Old World Blues for New Vegas.
Right. I love New Vegas. That was my favorite one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, there's a few characters in that one. Coincidentally, or I guess ironically, that was the only DLC I didn't play because I felt weird about it. And I was like, it made me uncomfortable.
Didn't want to hear your own voice in the game.
Yes. I got freaked out. I was like, oh God, what if I suck? Yeah. Like, I can't play this. It's going to ruin the game for me.
I think you were just fine. You can't say anything even if you did, but it'd be cool if we heard you again.
Oh, no, not this time around. I'm always waiting for that phone call, but it didn't come this time.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It comes out the 11th? Is that still the date?
12th, I think.
12th, maybe. I forget.
Maybe.
Yeah, 11-11 I thought it was, but maybe
less
not.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. So right after BlizzCon, you guys can all get your new StarCraft expansion on. You got that game on with Star Wars right behind that. Like, it's going to get nuts here for the next couple months anyway.
I'm trying to see. Hold on. Let's see. It's going to be, I don't know. Is it the 10th or the 11th?
Maybe it is the 10th. It's the 10th? Tuesdays. Right?
Is it Tuesday?
Seems like it would be a Tuesday, yeah. So
I'm only finding old articles for some reason. I'm really frustrated right now.
Google,
whatever.
Google
you
is
guys
lame.
Know. You guys all know.
Google's the worst. Yeah, we'll see how it goes on PC. Certainly, we'll revisit this on a future episode. But let's, I don't know, let's
hope. It is the 10th. It is the 10th.
Is it the 10th? Okay. It's
10th. November 10th. Yep.
All right, prepare now, Veronica. Have you beaten your DLC for Witcher? Are you still, what are you doing?
I haven't
there?
Even downloaded it yet. I haven't even started. I'm saving myself. I was supposed to be doing NaNoWriMo. Now I don't think I'm going to be doing NaNoWriMo because I'm too busy with work.
Yeah.
So, I'm a disappointment to everybody and myself.
No, there's just too much to do.
Whatever.
It's just too much to do.
Yep.
Well, we'll miss you this weekend, but we're looking forward to seeing you next Monday when we catch up again. It's Veronica Belmont. Veronica on Twitter. Do you have anything else going on you want people to know about?
No, I guess, yeah, just pushing the Twitch a lot because I'm going to be doing more streaming there. So I'm Veronica Belmont on Twitch.
Awesome.
Play with Scott playing with myself.
Ice one.
Yeah, somebody want to write that one down? No. And we also had Ralph on with us for a little bit, which was fun.
Yeah, he
so
was fun.
I suspect we'll see him more often. Veronica, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, y'all.
Bye now.
See you.
I almost hung up on you, too.
Oh.
That would have sucked.
Yeah.
Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
Emails, mm-hmm. Quick email and a call. You ready for this?
I am ready.
Check this out. Josh wrote in, says, hey, dudes. I think he means us.
Yeah. Well, it's better than bye, guys.
Yeah, that's true. I'm... playing with herself on a stream. Wonderful. I'm trying to find a good place to listen to the show on my Android phone, but want to download episodes. I can't seem to find a place to do so. If I'm just being a dummy, I apologize, but if you can point me in the right direction, I would appreciate it. Currently, I download the Podcast Addicts app for Android, but can't download anything past episode 700 or so. Help me out, please, Josh. So at first, I thought he meant, hey, what's a good Android app to download
right,
shows?
Right, to subscribe to podcasts, yeah.
But what he's really saying is he can't find our episodes past that episode, and what you've missed is just a note on here a couple of times where I've mentioned it. If you go to the website frogpants.com/TMS and the Get the Show link, there's an old RSS feed that you'll subscribe to manually that gives you all the archive stuff. The reason we do that is this show has so many episodes that we can't do it all in one feed or else it just kills bandwidth.
Right.
So we split it up. And so episodes one through whatever the number is that we start doing this one are all on that feed and all fully available. All the files are out there. You just have to subscribe to that feed. And you can do that in any of that. That app you mentioned works. Pocket Cast on Android
Pocket
works.
Pocket Cast is the one I hear most frequently recommended.
Yep, and the new Google Play stuff integration will work with it also. You just put it in manually. Anywhere that lets you accept a manual RSS link will let you do it. And that's true on iOS or anything else. So if anybody's looking for all our older episodes, that is absolutely a way to get those. What else? Oh, how about this?
Okay.
A phone call about you.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is
about me.
This is about Brian. So right. Everyone hold on to your butts. Here it is.
Hey, Scott, Hanna, and okay, Bruegel. This is John DeRoche, or Cloud Gator in the Tadpool, also known as John DeRoche, if you go by Johnson in English. I've been tinkering with the cryptex known as how do we get... voice services on cell phones to recognize Brian Ibbett's name, and I think I have one piece of the puzzle closer. If you say, who is Brian Ibbett of Arvada, Colorado, while it won't speak his entry, it does at least bring it up as the first result with Google Now.
Okay, we're going to try it. You ready?
Yep. All right, go ahead.
So, all right, I got to pull up. Oh, you know what? I have to use a different browser. I started using Safari again because Chrome pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Well, the new Safari is supposed to be really, really good. I haven't switched yet, but with El Capitan, the new Safari is supposed to be great.
Yeah, I really like it. I've been happy with it. Okay, here's what we go. We're going to search by voice on Chrome via Google Now. Let's see what happens. Brian Ibbett of Arvada, Colorado.
You're supposed to say who is.
Oh, I did mean to do that. Okay, yeah. I'm an idiot.
Please phrase your answer in the form of a question.
It searched for please Frasier. Okay, hold on.
Please, Frasier. Deep All right. Space Nine.
Let's try this again. All right, here we go. Who is Brian Ibbett of Arvada, California? Shit. I typed out Calif shit.
Calif shit.
Great. Let's try it again. Who is Brian Ibbett of Arvada, California? Ah!
Oh hold on.
Try it again. Who is Brian Ibbett of Arvada, Colorado? Yeah, it still says Brian Emmett to me.
Huh.
E-M-M-E-T-T.
$50 courthouse.
Yeah, I guess you're going to have... What else can you do? It's all you can do.
That's all I can do. If I want to be internet famous, that is what I've got to do. I've got to change my name, like Marilyn Monroe.
There you go.
Norma Jean.
I like the sound of that. That's it for your calls and emails. If you'd like to send in a call, you can do your own at 801-471-0462. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. A reminder, this is a short week. We got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday, we are in California, possibly recording some sort of something, but that'll probably be Saturday. We don't even know yet, so we'll let you know. Oh,
yeah. We'll do something. You and I will do something.
Yeah, so. We don't know what, but something. Yeah. Absolutely something. Find us on Twitter, at Morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. You can find the website at frogpants.com/TMS. And as always, if you're in the supportive mood, you can help us out and keep the show on the air at patreon.com/TMS.
Please do. We love you, patrons.
Yeah, they're pretty
cool. Well, we love all you listeners, but...
especially the patrons.
More. And if you were a patron, you got something awesome over this last weekend.
Yes, you did. We're not even going to tell you what it is.
No.
It hasn't been 2 weeks.
I don't want to spoil it.
Let's get out of here. Let's do it with style and play music for him. What do you got?
Sure. Matt says, "Dear S&B, I find myself at the end of something and must move on. She is not to be the one. She isn't the answer. She's not that into me. Anywho, must move on. Onward and upward. History is a rising road. Other fish in the bologna sandwich. Please help me in recovery by playing the best cover of all time. Brian, I know you've played many great covers of The Cure's Just Like Heaven, but none compare to Cat Edmondson's jazzy, bluesy masterpiece. Her sweet voice is just what the doctor ordered. Glove the piano, Matt."
Nice.
I can't argue with that. This is a great version. Cat Edmondson has a very unique voice, and while the song does slide more over into the jazz territory and something lighter than the metal that we heard earlier in the show that we've played before, there is something really, really nice about this. And Cat Edmondson's voice is what I imagine, speaking of Arrow earlier with Steven Schleicher, is kind of what I imagine Thea's voice. If Thea had a singing voice, if she sang the actress who plays Thea, this Cat Edmondson is what I imagine she would sound like.
Oh,
it's a nice. Weird. I know it's a weird place to go, but whatever.
I like it.
This is Cat Edmondson from the album "Take It to the Sky" or "Take to the Sky" from 2009. Her cover of The Cure's "Just Like Heaven."
Oh, I love The Cure. All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow with Justin and his big new announcement. He's already made it, but we'll talk about it. And Bill and everything else. So come on back now. You hear?
One that makes me scream, she said. One that makes me laugh, she said. And threw her arms around my neck. And show me how you do it. And I promise that I'll run away with you. I'll run away. Kissed her face and kissed her head, and thought of all the different ways I had to make her glow. Oh, why are you so far away? She said, why won't you ever know that I'm in love? Only you, lost and lonely, you, strange as angels, dancing in the deepest ocean.
twisting in the water, you're just like a dream. You're just like a dream.
Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
A Halloween party? Gag me with a broom.